The Quest Network is proud to present Star Wars Off the Record.
Welcome back to Star Wars Off the Record. This is going to be episode 13.9. Yes, 13.9. It's going to be a quick show. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Today's record date is Monday, June 25th, and I am your host, Eve Arwin, and I am joined by the lore master himself, Louis Olan.
Hey. Hello, Eve Arwin. Hello, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight.
Indeed. Glad you could make it tonight. And Fred Woodley.
Guys, I'm back. I found my way back.
Good to have you back.
Yes, welcome back.
It's been like 2-3 weeks now.
It's been a good 2-3 weeks. So we're not expecting much from this episode of you here.
You mean it literally, it's been a good 2 or 3 weeks, and now it's over.
You gotta watch that, Freddy. I'm gonna spit my water out of my computer. All right, so this has been one hell of a day. First, we cancel the show because my entire area just like drops internet connection because we had a thunderstorm, and my area, the cable company, is like, oh, you know, we gotta, you know, turn everyone's internet and cable TV off in order to fix the problem. So like the entirety of my town is without cable, without internet, and it's just been... So we canceled the show, because they had no ETA on when this was going to come back. So we canceled the show, and then maybe about an hour later, I find out internet's back up. Great. But the show's canceled. So I call up Lou. I'm like, poor Lou, I don't know what he was in the middle of. I call him, I'm like, Lou, are you busy? No. Can we do a show? Okay, Eve Arwin.
Let me log out of the game. Hang on.
And then I call up Fred real quick, and Fred's like, yeah, I can do the show now. So,
No. Tell the whole story. I was sitting there going to the bathroom, and the phone starts ringing. And I look over at it. I didn't answer the first time. So then I call Eve Arwin back.
Right.
You know, as I'm flushing. And I say, yeah, I can be there.
I hope you're joking.
You didn't really hear a flush, did you?
No, I didn't hear anything, and I'm hoping you're joking.
Yeah, that didn't happen. I haven't had running water in like 3 weeks.
All right. So obviously, tomorrow's kind of a big day if you're into the old SWTOR, and this week is kind of a big week for us. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. First, Fred, we have a sponsor for today, and I would like for you to shout him out loudly and proudly.
My favorite sponsor in the whole world, or at least out of all the ones that we've come in contact with so far, Tweaked Audio, making some of the best earbuds in the world. And I can speak from experience. I've had a lot of different brands, and my job outside is very active, and I've managed to break every brand except for Tweaked Audio.
It passes the Fred Woodley test.
Just today, I snagged my Tweaked Audio headphones on a fence in somebody's yard, and they ripped out of my ears, and not a single bit of damage to the earbuds themselves.
So when they say they're engineered for durability, would you say that's accurate?
Yes, they would say that they're engineered for Fred. They don't want to pay my trademarking fee.
Oh, my God. Oh, this just in, Tweaked Audio now says they're no longer... They have dropped us because this ad is horrible.
Are you kidding me? Tweaked Audio loves me as much as I love them.
For our
listeners, if you go to tweakedaudio.com and plug in the code off the record at checkout, they would take a full 30% off of any order you place.
That's right.
And it's well worth it.
Yep, you get 30% off and free shipping worldwide with the off-the-record code. Their retail price starts at $19.95, goes up to $34.95. They've got a lot of great things about about their headphones. It's not just, you know, any old headphones that you'll get for, you know, $10, you know, at your local hardware store, your local electronics store.
It's also my understanding that if you punch in the code FRED at checkout, they'll charge you double.
Right. Good God.
So use the off-the-record code. It's much more beneficial.
Fred, which headphones do you have? You have the one with the microphone on it?
No, because I really don't talk to anybody on my phone. Like, I have an iPhone, so I'll just turn the phone upside down if I need to use the microphone. Okay. Most of the time, I'm just listening to podcasts. Okay. So I started with the regular tweaked earbuds, and then they came out with the Parkour model, and I decided I wanted to try those, so I bought a pair of them.
Yeah.
All in all, I have about 10 different pairs of tweaked audio, and it's not because they break, it's because I keep losing them.
Oh, okay.
They're well, here, somewhere here in my house.
Let's see, what else should we say about it? They have a lifetime warranty, so in case Fred's earbuds do break, he can call them up and be like, listen, you know, that happened. Could you...
Again,
could you possibly, you know, send me a new pair? And they'll, you know, barely any questions asked, they'll send you a new pair for free with that lifetime warranty. And I guess, you know, they've got four different styles, six different colors. There's an optional microphone on these things. They've got great sound quality for music and podcasts. I mean, you're like Fred says, they're engineered for Fred. And they have noise reduction design as well. So
the only question they ever ask me is, "Is that you again, Fred?"
My favorite part about these things, and we'll leave it at this because I know everyone's eager to listen to the show. My favorite part about these things is they have the woven nylon cord on them with the gold jack, 3.5-inch jack. That's my favorite part.
Because you must have the tweaked natural ones then?
No, it's not the natural that I have. I believe it's the Parkour or the California. No,
because I have the Parkour ones, and my cord is actually a flat, like, vinyl.
Right, I have those too. I have those as well. You know what I have? I have the awesome ones. That's what I have. They're engineered for Paladin durability.
Oh, they send me the baby proof ones.
All right, guys, tweakedaudio.com. Don't forget, off the record, all one word, gets you 30% off, free shipping worldwide. And they have a lifetime warranty as well. So great stuff. Very durable. Awesome sound quality. Tweakedaudio.com. All right. Let's get into the show. Update 1.3. Okay, quite possibly the moment we have all been waiting for. All right, update 1.2 was great. Everyone liked it. It came with, you know, the Rise of the Rakul event as well, and everyone was interested in the legacy system. Cool stuff. But a lot of people said, not really enough. Not enough to get me back involved. Then, last week, they did the server consolidation, I suppose. Everyone has been going crazy over this. But even though we're all now experiencing great population on all of our servers, which has been a game changer for most of us, we're still saying that LFG system. And me, myself, I've gone into, you know, I've played a lot this week. While I was in the game, I kept thinking to myself, gee, you know, this LFG system, when it finally comes out, man, it's really going to flesh this out. It's really going to just make this perfect. That's the big thing coming out for 1.3. But there's also adaptive gear coming out. New legacy upgrades, which I'm totally stoked over and want to get into. And just a whole host of other stuff that we're gonna chat about. We're doing this show now. It's going to be a quick one. Later on this week, on Thursday, we're going to have reaction from 1.3 because it goes live tomorrow. Now, supposedly the patch is going to hit, and this is Eastern time. Actually, no, this might be Central time. It's going to hit around 4 a.m., right, Lou?
Yes, around that time. Probably, let's see, 3 or 4 a.m. Central time.
Okay.
So...
All right, so it's going to hit around that time. It's going to take approximately, they're saying, about 4 hours. Servers are going to go down for 4 hours. They're going to put the patch, they're going to upload the patch, and then boom, we should have all this wonderful stuff in our game. Now, the last big update that came out, it took them maybe about 7 hours. I think you were saying, correct, Lou?
Well, yeah, they said around 4 hours for, I think, 1.2. But then with some of the issues that came out after that, when it went live, they actually had to shut stuff down again to do some emergency fixes.
Right. All right, so expect we're looking at, they're saying 4 hours. Expect up to 7-8 hours of downtime.
Or at that, yeah, because they've said on their page, like, they're hoping it should take no more than 4 hours. But with everything, especially with game updates like this, you know, expect it to take longer if need be. So, I mean, please don't take them literally 4 hours. If it happens, it happens. If not, then, it happens. I mean, we all know how big this is going to be. Let's have them
do it right.
Do it right. Work out the kinks if they can spot them beforehand, or if they need to take them down a little bit longer because they came up with some issues. By all means, you know, let them fix it.
All right, so let's start moving through this. The first thing we want to do is we have a little quote here from BioWare, and I'm just going to read this off, and then we're going to start getting into the information. This comes from BioWare. Game update 1.3. Allies introduces new features for all Star Wars The Old Republic players, including a group finder tool, legacy perks, ranked war zones, and adaptive gear. Now you'll be able to quickly find groups to take on flashpoints, operations, war zones, and planetary heroic missions. The legacy system incorporates new bonuses, including advancement perks, which allows you to customize your leveling experience. This is one of the things that no one's really talking about, and of those, I'm most excited over. We'll get into that in a little bit. With adaptive gear, social gear can now be used in combat by fusing it with corresponding armor bonuses and creating slots for modifications. These are just a few of many exciting features of Allies. All right, so we get into this a little bit, and I want to let's leave the LFG system, because that's the big gorilla in the room. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone knows about it. Let's get into that later. All right, let's talk about some of the things that no one's really talking about and what makes us excited about these things. All right, and I want to start off with these legacy perks. All right, now with the legacy perks, all right, they're saying that it includes advancement perks, which will grant you experience bonuses for taking part in war zones, flashpoints, and space missions. So this is stuff like you're already doing while leveling up, right, Lou?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, Fred. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Now, Fred. I mean, how do you feel about this? I mean, you are now getting extra experience bonuses for doing war zones, flashpoints, and space missions. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think it's going to be too much? Do you think it's where it should be? Is this appropriate?
I think that it's going to put things where they should be, because as I mentioned last time I was on the show, I had a Sith Inquisitor that I was trying to level up, and I went an assassin where I was stealthing around a lot of mobs and just going from quest objective to quest objective without killing a lot of trash in between. And that left me in a position where I'm now level 38 trying to start a planet where all the mobs are level 42. So the way that they designed it so close that if you don't kill all the trash in between and you don't do everything you're supposed to do, then you're not going to be the appropriate level when you hit those higher level planets.
Yeah, I think when Joe was on the show, he had mentioned once or twice that he got to a new planet and wasn't at the appropriate level and didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was playing the game as he wanted to play it, very streamlined. But like you said, Fred, if you don't take care of, you know, most of the stuff or all of the stuff in between, you end up selling yourself short.
My only fear with this, and it's not really a fear, just an apprehension, is that when this comes out, I hope that they don't make this cost several hundred thousand credits to get these unlocks. because I need to do something desperately with my characters that are already underleveled for planets that they've already cleared.
Right. Now, Lou, what's your reaction to what Fred just said regarding that?
Well, I know a lot of people have, when they level their characters, a lot of them will bypass the planetary quests and just focus on the class quests themselves on each planet.
I know, Lou, they didn't make the game for me.
No. No, more like, you know, it's funny that Robert and I were mentioning this before, earlier this afternoon. I mean, I've encountered players who have hit Corellia and have finished their class story, but yet, you know, didn't even start Corellia, and they were only level 47. Okay?
Yeah.
48, what have you, and yeah, you're about that range, I think, when you're supposed to hit Corellia. But again, it just makes it very tough to...
yeah, when you get there...
To cope with some... with the mobs there and the new zones on the planets, because you don't have abilities to match or to at least enable you to survive, because, yes, we all know, you know, the planetary quests don't change no matter what faction you're on. You know, when I go to my Imperial characters, if I go to Belsavis, I know exactly what quests are in each and every part of that zone, or each of the area, for each zone in Belsavis. Okay, same thing with Balmor, same thing with Voss. All the planet quests are the same, that's no surprise. But, you know, people should take the time and actually finish all of them, and even the bonus quests, because again, you're going to need the credits, all right? Because there are a lot of credit sinks in this game, you know, to help control the economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus getting the XP to level doesn't hurt either, because again, you know, it keeps you on par with the next planet you go to.
Well, now, and I just want to say this, you know, on that note, you know, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't do all of those quests, and I'm blasting through my class quest because I love it. I'm really into it, and I want to see like how this ends. So I'm doing this very streamlined. I'm actually only doing my class quest. Now I'm level 44 and I'm getting toward the end of it now. I'm almost 45. It's a little tough to close that gap sometimes between the level you should be and the level you actually are if you do the class quest streamlined. And,
right.
You know, so getting the extra experience for those legacy perks is going to be great, you know, for me, because I've already experienced, you know, my class quest with my alt. And once this kicks in for me, all right, and now I'm going to be able to get that, you know, that extra experience. Right now, what I'm doing in order to close that gap is I'm actually doing the space missions. You get a ton of experience doing those space missions. And they're a lot. I'll enjoy the heck out of them. They're a lot of fun. So this, to me, is going to be nice, because if I'm already doing, you know, flashpoints and space missions, I'm going to get extra experience bonuses doing that on my alt. And I can skip a lot of the monotony that I don't want to get involved in at that point. The other piece here is they say other legacy perks you can unlock include a spawnable item repair droid. That, I love that. Because how many times have you found yourself in a flashpoint and you got to repair, and it's like, now I gotta leave, I gotta go to, you know, such and such place, or I gotta go back to this guy, and it's far away. Like it's a bit of a pain. If you've got a spawnable item repair droid right there, totally convenient, totally awesome. The ability to pilot speeders at level 10, which is great as well, and a number of bonuses, they say, for your companion, which will increase their affection. So no longer do you have to, you know, figure out which gifts are really appropriate for your your companion, or to level that affection up, because God forbid you say one thing that, you know, aggravates Mako, and oh my God, now I got to give her a gift. And then improve their item crafting abilities as well for your companions, and decrease the time companions spend selling items to vendors. All that stuff inside the legacy perks, for me personally, It's just ultra convenient, really functional, totally into. Now, Fred, let me toss this back over to you, and then I want to move on to adaptive gear. How do you feel about some of this stuff that they're listing? Like, what here really excites you, or what do you dislike about any of that?
I would have to say, out of the things you just listed, the companion perks have me the most excited, because I have certain companions, well, certain characters, because the way my playstyle is going is I'm playing some duplicates of the same class. Mm-hmm. Just because I have characters outlined in my head with certain race and class combinations. And in order to make the class I actually want, I have to get that race to level 50 first. So in doing the duplicates, I'm also doing some trade skills. And I don't feel like going through all those companion stories over and over again to get their affection up so they perform better with the trade skills. This is going to make it a little bit easier on me to max out the affection on those extra characters.
Okay. Now, what about you, Lou?
Well, right off the bat, the convenience perks, such as the field repair droid, and the field respec perk. Those are what I'm looking forward to the most. You know, because again, you know, who feels like running back to the nearest, you know, town? Or Medroid you find out in the field to repair and sell junk off to. At least this way, I don't have to run all the way back out of whatever mini instance I'm in currently. You know, just to sell off stuff because I can't pick anything else up. You know, or you know, for some reason I suddenly died so many times my gear is useless and broken on me. That's very convenient. But, you know, one of the big things they are announced that's actually going to help a lot of players out as well is the field respec. You know, meaning you could change your spec tree right off the bat.
Yeah, and I'm glad they've had the wherewithal to put that in this patch as well, because now that we're grouping up more often, which is what, you know, extra people in our... on our server has done, and now the LFG system is just going to streamline all of this. You're going to be grouping up with people that have, you know, classes, abilities that may not sit well with your current build. So now that you've got this, you know, in the field, you know, respec option, you can, you know, do this where, you know, now you can go to a different, you know, build option where now everything is flowing smoothly.
Right. You no longer have to sacrifice going all the way back to the fleet or to the capital world to reset your skills. You know, you can just tell your group to wait for like literally 1 minute or two or three, reset yourself, and then, you know, rebuild the other spec you have.
Right. All right, which is obviously ultra convenient when you're stuck in a flashpoint. All right, adaptive gear. I'm sorry, what do you got, Fred?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know how useful the field respec droid is going to be if they don't give any type of a discount to actually respecing.
Right, I know,
they
don't.
It's going to cost the same as it does at a regular respec NPC. And that's pretty expensive once you do it a few times.
Yes.
I mean, it would have more use if they added some kind of functionality where it's like 50% cheaper than if you do it at the fleet. Because I'm sure you got to do something to unlock this perk.
Well, do we know how much it's going to cost to respec each time? Have they said that?
Well, if it's based off of the fleet, then it's going to be the same. It saves the fleet costs.
Yeah, and when you get that up to the max, you're paying like 100,000 credits a pop to respec.
All right, so it's obviously not something you're going to be doing, you know, on a whimsy. But
they could have also made it like EverQuest 2's respecking mirrors, where maybe the droid would save a separate build for you.
Right.
Good points. Right. Good points. Right. Look, we got to move on. This is what our big show is going to be about on Thursday. We'll get into that. Let's start talking about adaptive gear. All right, now. Let's see. Lou, what do you got on adaptive gear here?
Okay. Now, the big thing with adaptive gear, this is going to be focusing on the social gear that's available within the game. All right, now, we've all seen those outfits that are available at the vendors, okay, on each planet.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're on Droman Kaz, one of the vendors there actually sells, that slave girl outfit, okay? I'll use that for some reason.
I can think of one fat bottom Jedi is going to be wearing that.
Okay.
That's actually not even my favorite one. My favorite one is the social gear that you get on Voss. It's like the robes that all the Voss casters are wearing.
Right. Yeah, that's actually pretty nice as well. But in essence, folks, what it's going to do with 1.3 is that any social gear that's in the game, all right, is now going to be adapted to match your character's combat gear. So if you're a light armor wearer, all right, the gear will reflect that. Okay, you can wear it. If you're a medium armor wearer, again, you can wear it. Okay. Heavy armor wearer, yes. It'll translate and carry, help carry, yeah. It'll translate into that bracket or that tier of armor protection. Okay, so if you've got a piece of medium gear that you want to wear on your Juggernaut or on your Guardian, yes, you can take it, wear it, and now it adapts the properties of a heavy piece of gear that you're accustomed to wearing on your character. Okay, and again, you can put your mods in it, all right? And if it's RE'd, okay, with that critical and you get that additional augment slot, there you go. Now you could add in that fourth piece of modification for your chest piece, your gloves, okay, your belt, your trousers, your boots, what have you.
Right. Now, they're also doing augment unlocks as well in 1.3.
Yes. Which is why a lot of people have been practicing and, trying to get those recipes, get it all going. Because now, when you crit, making that item.
Right.
Okay, you get a critical success when you're crafting that item. You're going to add that additional slot now to that piece of gear or that weapon. So think about it. I mean, let's take, for example, the lightsaber. What have you got? You've got the crystal. All right, you've got the hilt, the modification, and the enhancement. Now it's going to allow you to put a fifth slot, an augment, to slap in another augment that, at the very least, can add in maybe two additional stats. Okay, so if Ivaru wanted to boost his strength and endurance a little bit more to give more, just a bit more of an edge, he can. All right, he can shop on the market, go find a crafter that sells augments that are like 15 strength and 20 endurance. Well, now his weapon has an additional 15 strength, 20 endurance on top of all the other items he's stacked in his saber.
Right, and you're going to be able to do this by crafting and selling augment mod kits is basically how this is all coming about. So you're going to be able to buy one of these, kits, and it's going to unlock an augmentation modification slot on any piece of gear, any equipable piece of gear and weapon as well. So now you can dress up like a sand person. Or a sand people. I don't know the singular form of sand person. Now you can dress up like one of those guys, and you can actually make like ridiculously powerful sand person robes with like augmented gear. It's crazy.
Well, I know what look I'm going for now.
Yeah, you're going to sand people?
Well, I would, but that kind of would defeat the purpose of me being a Sith pureblood Jedi, because you wouldn't be able to see my face anymore.
True. Very true. So now, Morrigan, my Jedi, can not only wear and raid in her slave girl outfit, right? But I'm going to put a little augment on there, and she's going to be ultra powerful in her slave girl outfit while raiding. Fred, what do you got on this? I mean, how do you feel about this? I mean, we talking about adaptive gear, augment unlocks? What's old Fred Woodley thinking about this stuff?
Well, my first thought to this is what an amazing idea this is, because all of this social gear is awarded by having social points, this is just further incentive for everybody to use that looking for group tool when it comes out.
Yeah.
People are going to need to stack those social points to be able to get this gear. And now they repurposed all of that social gear to be valid gear for everybody.
See, I'm glad you hit on that point, because that's another thing that people really aren't talking about. The more you use the LFG system, the more of those social points you're going to be getting, just because you're grouping up more often. And now this social gear, the adaptive gear, is going to become almost like a bonus for grouping up more often.
I know that there's a ton of people right now that are level 50 and aren't even social rank 2 yet. So this is going to be a phenomenal way for people to get the social points and be rewarded for it.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Lou, do you have anything else on this? Anything else to add?
Nope, I can't wait for it to actually, you know, happen in place, because I know a couple of my characters, or at least, well, they're slacking. They're only social 4, but hopefully when this goes live, and since we are now on a very, very populated server, okay, I've noticed too that general chat's more and more open for people grouping, so, you know, I can't wait for this to come out. Can't wait.
It's,
is it Tuesday yet? Is it Tuesday?
It will be soon, my friend. It shall be soon. All right, let's address the giant elephant taking a poo in the room, the group finder tool, the little piece of user interface that is going to make all of our wildest dreams come true in Tor. Here it is, the group finder, guys. All right, so we're on the Tor website, okay, and they're saying this game update 1.3 brings a group finder tool that will help you quickly form groups to take on the many flashpoints and operations in the Old Republic. You'll be able to select your preferred role within a group, as well as the type of content that you and your friends want to tackle. Flashpoints, war zones, operations, or planetary heroic missions. Now, on my side of this, I'm ultra excited. Okay, the flashpoint thing, the war zone thing, the operation thing, like, I automatically thought, like, okay, that's going to be stuff that you're going to be able to group up for in the LFG and then go and do it. But the planetary heroic missions are something that you don't really have a whole lot of emphasis on. It. No one really talks about it. And for me, it's one of the best parts of this game, because it gives you that epic flashpoint feel, that epic, you know, dungeon clearing feel with your buddy. But it's short, it's sweet, it's rewarding, and you're done and out with your experience and rewards in hand, and it's great. And they've included this as well in the LFG here.
I'll be honest, when I leveled up my Sith Warrior as my first character, mm-hmm. I know that I did a couple of the heroic quests, but I really didn't make notation of what the rewards were. But recently I've gone through again with my girlfriend, and we've actually duoed a lot of the heroic quests on starter planets in the world right after. Mm-hmm. And I'm just amazed at some of the gear upgrades you can get from doing those at the level you do them. Like, they offer you blue gear that's way better than the greens you get doing the normal Kellan stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, Lou.
No, yes, it is. It's the heroics are there. Yeah, it's tough content. It's not meant to be easy. But yes, they're very rewarding. They give you a really great chunk of XP to begin with to help you in the leveling process. You know, and some really decent cash. I'm sorry, credits. It also gives you the opportunity to get some really good pieces of gear for your character, for your level. As Fred said, blue items appropriate for your level, as opposed to the greens you may get off the random drops from the mobs, or the green items you would get from the quest turning itself. Okay, come on. Who hasn't been disappointed by the green item they get at the quest turning? All that work.
Oh,
a little bit of money, and you get a green item, okay? Yeah. No. At least this way, when you do the heroics, whether it's two-man or the four-mans, you know, there's a very good chance you're going to get at least one piece of gear that you can use or something your companion can use. Okay?
And you know, previously it would have been the ugliest piece of gear you would have ever gotten. But now the Unify Colors feature, I love that.
Oh my god, yes.
I use that all the time now. I don't know how I lived without it. I don't know how I lived without it. That Unify Colors thing is just, it's great. You know, my Jedi is looking pretty freaking awesome. And obviously, you know, you're basically going to be doing more flashpoints, war zones, operations with this thing. But everyone misses the planetary heroic missions. No one really does them that often, because you generally, if you can't solo them with your companion, you basically just move on and don't even use it, because most of the time we've been by ourselves.
Right.
You know? And you level up and you forget about it. You never get back to it. You always tell yourself, I got to do that. But by the time you look at it in your log, it's already gray and, you know, abandon it. Whatever. I don't care anymore.
Well, right. Like I've said, how my Inquisitor's kind of spinning his tires at level 38. I've actually been going back to Hoth and doing the heroic quest there with some of my guildmates, just trying to bridge that gap a little bit. But since they're all pretty much daily missions, you can repeat every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, guys. So that's the big key points that we got coming up for update 1.3. It is due out within a few hours. Certainly, by the time you're listening to this podcast, it should actually already have hit the servers. We're going to give our reaction on Thursday. Okay, so you're going to get two Star Wars shows this week. Additionally, all right, we're telling you right now, the show is going to change. The hosts are staying the same. Okay, the content and the layout will be the same as well. All right. However, what we're going to do is we're having a lot of technical issues regarding our feed. All right. So we have to relaunch the show almost. So if you're a subscriber to this show, first of all, thank you very much for supporting us. Second of all, we want to inform you that because the show is going on a new feed, you're going to have to resubscribe. And we're actually changing the name of the show as well, and we're going to have a new icon up on iTunes. The old cross lightsaber icon is going to go away. We're going to have a brand new one up. We're going to rename the show, and it's going to be on a brand new feed and all that.
The new one's going to be a crimson lightsaber going through Varwin's head.
Right. So again, just to reiterate, all right, and we're gonna next week, excuse me, on Thursday, all right, it's probably going to be our last Star Wars off the record show. Okay, it's not gonna have the same branding as off the record. It's gonna be totally new series. The same episode list and number is going to be kept the same. We're going to drop the 0.5 though, and we're going to go to a whole number format. We're going to have, like I said, it's going to be the same format. We're going to have technically a smaller show every other week, but we're not going to call it a 0.5 show. It's just going to be a regular whole number show. And that's basically it. We're gonna update you on all of the information by Thursday. We'll have that out for you. But right now, we're just letting you know that this is coming, and you've got to resubscribe.
Yeah, because we all pretty much agreed that the show now isn't really the same product that it launched as. So we want to evolve the show to fit the new format.
Correct. Yeah. Basically, what happened was we were noticing all of these issues with our feed and iTunes, and it became apparent that we have to create a new feed. When we create a new feed, you're basically making a whole new show from the ground up. So we figured, well, this is a good opportunity to kind of reflect some of the changes that have happened here at the show. So we're going to do that. So it's going to be a whole new look and same great taste around here at the Star Wars crew.
I keep trying to convince Yvarwin just to keep the good episodes that I'm on, but he insists that we need to keep them all.
Well, we actually, Lou and I kind of differ. Even though it's, you think it's the good episodes. It's really not. It's the worst ones.
That's not what Lou was telling me in the pre-show.
Lou's right. Whatever Lou says, he's 100% correct.
Yeah, Lou knows the lore. Tell him how bad it was before me, Lou.
It was awful. Wow. All right, guys. Look, thank you very, very much for Fred. You're a permanent cast member on the show for a reason. We adore you. Certainly myself.
You're my favorite person, Eve Arwin.
All right, this is getting disgusting now. All right, guys. Thank you very much for you know, jumping up and doing this impromptu quick show with me and helping inform the listeners of what to expect. Totally excited about 1.3. I can't wait for this thing to hit. I've been looking forward to this since they announced that it's coming out, and now we're on the eve of it, and I'm so excited and stoked. Oh my god. Lou, final
it's like
thoughts.
Christmas, isn't it?
Final thoughts. Wow. Game one, update 1.3. Can't wait. I'm very excited. Looking forward to playing it tomorrow afternoon and giving it a go.
Indeed. And Fred, your final thoughts.
I'm glad this is a short show because I'm going to try to clear Alderaan on my Jedi.
Have fun with that. I got a meeting to go to with the Middle Earth guys, so enjoy.
You're going to get what you deserve, Master Gorgas.
Wow. Wow. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please enjoy yourselves. I don't even know what it... Lou, finish the show out for me. I'm a mess.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hope you're looking forward to 1.3 as much as we are. Remember, come back Thursday. Let's get our thoughts back, you know, our impressions, 1.3. You know, get ready for a new relaunch of the show.
That's right. All right, stay safe out there, everyone. May the Force be with you.
Wait, my turn.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
You can reach us on our main portal site at questgamingnetwork.com. Our Twitters, you can reach the show at Star Wars OTR, which that may or may not be changing soon. You can reach Ivarwin at Ivarwin. Lou is at GamerGuy11B. And I am at Gorthinolor, which we spelled it before. You should know by now. Star Wars Off the Record is a Quest Gaming Network production in association with Middle Earth Network.
Thank you. Good job, Fred. Thank you very much.
Now say goodbye.
Take care, everyone. Be safe. May the Force be with you. Ha ha ha!